Now, are all the traitors present? Let's get started, shall we?
From rags to riches.
I'm so sick of this.
Working like a dog and being treated worse.
Yorkshire to New York.
We're climbers, you and me.
A life dedicated to revenge.
Let's make this an occasion to remember.
A Woman of Substance on Channel 4. Stream now.
Right now, we're facing a mental health crisis. Rates of anxiety, depression, and burnout are climbing. Millions of people are trying medications, therapy, and traditional treatments, and many of them still feel stuck. Today's guest is experienced firsthand. Before founding a company focused on new mental health treatments, he went through his own personal battle with severe depression and nearly costed him his life. This experience led him to build a company dedicated to expanding access to innovative treatments for mental health. Derek Duchesne is the founder and the CEO of Better You. Derek, let's start here. I just want to like dive right into it because this is like a topic that everyone is struggling with. Everyone wants the solution. Everyone wants answers because they don't want to feel this way. You know, what's broken in the way that we currently treat mental health?
Thank you, Stacey. That's a pretty loaded question, but I can start with my initial perspective, having been on the patient side and now on the service provider side. It's that I think that mental health, like the standard of care, hasn't really changed in over 100 years. It's been based off of Freudian and Rockefeller methods of diagnose the illness and treat the symptom. And while that's great for standardization, it allows kind of psychiatrists or mental health professionals or primary care doctors to put people in buckets, and then once you're kind of labeled into that bucket, or you become your own label of, oh, now it's cloudy out today, my depression's kicking in. Oh, I'm in traffic, my anxiety's kicking in, and we can become these labels or identify with them more, and it's not personalized care. And a lot of traditional treatments or mainstream treatments, while they can be effective for some, and I will say that in the most responsible way possible, while they can be effective for some people, there's a lot of people that they're not effective for. And also a lot of side effects on antidepressants and a lot of medications is suicidal ideation, suicidal thoughts, hopelessness. And I don't think that that's talked about enough.
Yes.
And I think that we're all very unique and very different people with different biologies, different life experiences, and the way that our mental health care is treated should also be unique. And looking at a lot of people don't know their depression stems from, for men, they don't know their depression stemming from low testosterone. For women as well, it could be stemming from hormone issues. But when you go in for treatment for your mental health, they're typically not looking at your blood work or your hormones. And there's just so many other variables from your diet, your habits, and all these other things that can be addressed without medication. And when certain medications aren't working or you're labeled as treatment resistant, there's also a lot of other options out there that you can try that aren't talked about enough, that are also that people find a lot of success with.
Right. Now, what were you going through and what made you realize that something needed to change?
In 2019, I was on the road for 300 days in over 40 countries for work. And around that time, I was also in what I thought was a great relationship for a few years and really thought I had life kind of figured out. My future seemed to be pretty stable, pretty sturdy. And I didn't realize it at the time, but my entire, happiness or identity was based on these external things, on my career and my relationship. And as those things can and inevitably will change for most of us throughout our lives, then I realized that around the same time, they both kind of took a 180. And I became very lost and became very just struggling with who I was, and so I went to my primary care doctor and was put on antidepressants, and then was having trouble sleeping and then was put on sleeping pills, and the days I felt more numb, so I was able to get through the day, but they became much darker and much more isolating and much more alone. And I felt like the deeper, as it typically takes about 8 weeks or so for antidepressants before. Like, all right, well, now we can gauge if it's working or not. Probably a couple months later, maybe 3 months later, is when I was just kind of stuck in these repetitive cycles of I'm not worthy of love, I'm not worthy of life. Nobody's, of course, all these terrible things that recently happened, attaching that to who I am and my self-worth. And the more nobody makes that decision to end their own life because they're thinking clearly. They make that decision because their brain is telling them, the brain is sick, or the brain's telling them that the world's better off without them, or that they shouldn't be here. They're not worthy of being here. And I think that, it's very, very, people are very misunderstood. Suicide's very misunderstood. And I never thought, like, if you met me, you'd never say that I was a suicidal or depressed person, even during that time. And we never know what people are going through. And as I went through that journey, ended up in the hospital, and a friend of mine who's a doctor told me, "Hey, like, I'm gonna take you somewhere, and it's gonna help you." And Will recommended it to me, and then my friend ended up taking me, and he brought me to a ketamine clinic. And in my mind, ketamine was this horse tranquilizer, and I didn't understand. It was my limited education on it. I didn't understand the how important it would be in my life at that time, and how important it is now. But even after my darkest moments, I was still reluctant to try it because of the reputation that it has. And unfortunately, I did, because that one session brought me from this, almost felt like a continuous spiral of negative thoughts that I was kind of drowning myself in, and it was able to snap me out of that funk and immediately allow me to, within an hour, after months of talk therapy and medications and et cetera, daily medications, it allowed me to create that separation in my mind of looking at all these things that had happened recently. It was just exactly that. Those are just things in my life that happened, and they don't define who I am. And I think that's where the real power of this type of treatment in particular comes in, is because a lot of people, we identify or we attach, unknowingly or subconsciously, to the traumatic things that happen in our life, and it becomes a part of who we are. And when we can separate and say, "Hey, all these, terrible things, these aren't, and all these terrible thoughts in my head as well, like, this isn't who I am." So our brain is telling us these things, but being creating that separation, be like, "I am not my thoughts. This is just things that is happening in my head." And I think that's what really snapped me out of it and probably saved my life.
That's amazing. Now, many people try the traditional path, medication, therapy, and lifestyle changes, yet some still struggle. Why do you think traditional mental health systems sometimes fall short?
Well, I think the first couple of parts that you said there, the lifestyle changes and talk therapy, I think those are tremendous applications and tools that are really what's needed for a lot of people to help with their mental health. The issue is that when you're struggling with very serious depression, your motivation's gone, right? To get up and brush your teeth can feel like the hardest thing in the world. When you're struggling with very serious anxiety, similarly, right? It's your therapist and your doctor is telling you, eat better, get more sunshine, exercise every day. And unless you're doing those things, unless you are exercising every day and sweating every day, or getting sunshine every day and having social connection every day and doing those things to take care of yourself, you're not going to stand a fighting chance of really being happy, because you have to lay the foundation for your brain to and for your body to release those happy chemicals. And I think that with certain medications and traditional treatments for things, those can be they can be useful in allowing maybe to quiet some of the noise of people's depression, or quiet some of the anxiety. I think that the challenge is that, where is that line of when it's actually helping people, or when it's just putting too big of a wall between them and their challenges, and now, every day they're just taking this to bury it as opposed to processing it. And I think that most mental health treatments, outside of habit changing and nutrition changing and psychotherapy, a lot of the medications are meant to do exactly that, is to allow us to be functional again.
Right.
But the only way out is through. And when you're just continuing to bury these things, that there's going to be a day, and there's going to be a time in your life where you will have to process these things, and you will have to face these things,
Right.
and it can take, hours, months, years, to be able to move through it. But you will have to. And a lot of
Yeah.
these things, I don't think, are great for helping people to do exactly that. And everybody, like I said, everybody's different. We all respond to different treatments differently, and we all have things that resonate with us. And just because something helped me doesn't mean it's going to help, the next person. And I'm not by any means a medical professional or a doctor. I just wanted to share with other people. All this happened right before the pandemic, and I wanted to, during the pandemic, I saw a lot of friends of mine and family members and colleagues that their entire identity was shifting with their family dynamics. Now the whole family's at home all the time. Maybe they lost their careers and they were going to their primary care, not even a mental health specialist, just going to their primary care doctor, and now they're on a bunch of different medications and starting to get worse. So I started to share with other people with what helped me, and I think that, the goal is to give people educated options and say, hey, there's a path for traditional medications, and if
Right.
this isn't working, then let's, then here's these other things. Or if you are afraid, or you don't want to be on a daily medication, and you want to try some other alternative treatments that have a tremendous amount of success and data around them, then here's these other options, right? And
Right.
so whether it's, a new brownie flavor that comes to market, that's, that's helping people with their mental health, or a new peptide, or a new form or a new method of psychotherapy, or an FDA approved, antidepressant that has tremendous data that isn't kind of following the SSRI status
Right.
quo. Because if you look at the serotonin syndrome, right, that was, debunked, and if you look at most of these traditional psychiatric, like, medications, for example, Xanax and benzos, those are supposed to be short-term psychiatric interventions.
Right.
Short-term being the key thing here. The problem is that in the United States, we live in, a capitalist society where typically when people go in and they're prescribed mental health medications for sleep or for antidepressants or benzos, they're just on them, right? They're not
Yeah.
getting a plan to wean off of them. And a lot of patients that we speak with are advocating for themselves, saying, hey, I don't think this is right for me anymore. It's not working for me. I want to try something else. Or I
Right.
want to wean off of this. And a lot of the times the psychiatrist or the doctor will say, actually, I think we need to increase the dosage, or do this. And so it's really about individualized and personalized care, and looking at, are you checking, all the boxes, or are you checking one or two of the boxes?
Right.
Because that's really what we need. And I think if you look at America compared to most of the world, we think that it's in our programming, or at least, how, or culturally, that, take this pill, you'll feel better. Take
Right.
this, you'll feel better.
Exactly.
Not the other 30 things. How is it? How is your sleep hygiene? How is your movement? How is your nutrition? And those are all things that need to be addressed, prior or during the treatments, in order to get a chance at living a happier, healthier life. But that's, how much time psychiatrists spend on nutrition and getting education for nutrition in the residency at most programs in the United States?
How much?
The most I've heard of is 4 hours.
Really?
Yeah. And do you know how much nutrition affects your mental health?
My God. It affects a huge portion of your mental health. Almost, it's up there. It's really high. Everything we put in our bodies has a plays an effect on our mental health.
Absolutely. And so I think that like functional medicine or psychiatrists, like we work with some psychiatrists that are also study functional medicine. And I think that there's, we're at a stage where what we've seen in a society where over-prescribing and over-diagnosing has probably led to, a lot of the challenges that we see, that we see today, right? Like, do you see people, if you look at, for example, something like a school shooting, right? Where somebody's not feeling remorse and doing things like this. And when you have an over-medicated society where, like, we have patients all the time that'll say, is there, what's wrong with me? I'm looking at my grandchild, I'm looking at my husband, and I feel nothing. Am I a bad person? And we're like, well, let's look at your medication history. Let's look at these other things. And they're like, oh, I've been on XYZ medications for 15 years. And so we'll work with them on a step down program with our psychiatric team to help them slowly kind of wean off of certain things and try other treatments. And it's absolutely incredible seeing them 8 or 9 treatments later, and they are crying and they're laughing and saying, wow, like I watched a comedy show with my grandchild last night, my grandson, and I was laughing and crying and like, are you okay? She's like, I'm just happy that I'm feeling again. So, I think what's gotten lost in our mental health landscape or the way we treat things in the United States is that those keywords of short-term psychiatric interventions for most things, not for everything. There are a lot of psychiatric issues that need and require long-term medications, like bipolar one a lot of the times, and schizophrenia and those types of things that also probably should not be treated, with telemedicine. Those should be in person. Those are serious mental health issues, but for the broader landscape.
Do you think, is it because we're focused more on symptom management than root cause in our society?
Yeah, I think that, well, that's on both sides. It's like, okay, I want to start feeling better. I want to not feel anxious, right? So when you have something that you can take that immediately takes away that symptom, I think it can probably slow the motivation to say, hey, I want to actually move through what's causing these kinds of things. Because that's a lot of times a lot harder and a lot more painful and takes a lot more work to do. And it's also what most of these medications that are prescribed, that what most of these traditional antidepressants and types of things do, they're there for symptom management. So if somebody's working heavily with a psychotherapist, in addition to that, in addition to their medications, then I think that's a much, much, much more recommended thing. So, and then hopefully they're working in conjunction. A big issue is fragmented care in the United States, right? You have your OBGYN, you have your psychiatrist, you have your chiropractor, you have your nutritionist, you have a hormones person, you have all these different specialists that you go to in your primary care, and your psychiatrist, and all these different specialists. And a lot of times it's very fragmented, right? They're not speaking with each other and saying, hey, we've already tried this, this, and this. So it's really up to the person or the patient to advocate what's helping, what's not. And what we've tried to do is what we've tried to do for Better You is have all of those different specialists under one roof, so we can look at all the different things and say, hey, these kind of meds, maybe worked for a bit and weren't responsive. Let's, how's your psychotherapy working? Okay, well, you haven't been able to kind of break through, or you've run up against a wall in psychotherapy, then let's look at ketamine therapy to see if that in conjunction with psychotherapy can now allow you to do a deeper dive internally. And what that really helps people with is being able to revisit, like I said earlier,
Mm-hmm.
revisit these traumatic things in their life, but without the normal emotional charge, right?
Right.
So it allows them to revisit I don't want to say relive it, but go back through it and say,
Yeah.
okay, like here's with looking at it is almost a, they're not the star of what it's happening, but looking at it as the observer. And when you can get that perspective shift, it can change everything.
Right.
And then you look at, okay, great, now maybe my depression's gone.
Yeah.
Or I've worked through my depression with all of these different things, but now I'm struggling with years of antidepressants side effects. So I've gained a bunch of weight, and maybe I have sexual dysfunction, and
Right.
for men and women. So with that, when we addressed based off of people's demand was, okay, now let's have a clinical weight loss program, let's have sexual health programs, and really just finding like what people are, how do they continue on their journey
Yeah.
after coming out of their depression and saying, okay, what else is it in my life that I'm struggling with? And
Right.
what we've been passionate about for years and just recently started moving into is HRT, primarily for women's bioidentical HRT for menopause and perimenopausal care. And me being a man, not being aware up until being in healthcare over the last decade of the bias in men and women's healthcare.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, it's astronomical, right? For if you look at just for example, on the sexual health side, for men, it was considered a national emergency and 6 months FDA approval for Viagra. For the women's kind of equivalent, not equivalent because it's more of a neurological and vascular, but that took 6 years to get approved by the
Yeah.
FDA. And a lot of women, they'd go to their doctor and say, "Hey, I'm having HSDD or having issues, with or side effects from antidepressants, and it's really affected my sex life." And the doctors, male doctors would respond with things like, "Have you tried running a bath? Have you tried wearing something different?" Things that
Yeah.
are so far beyond not medical responses. And when we look at now the amount of data and the black box warning being removed from estrogen and hormone care, particularly for women's hormone care, that HRT being, the single best thing you can do for your longevity,
Yeah.
for your bones, for your mood, for your metabolic health, and all of the above. And so, helping people throughout their mental and physical health journeys throughout, as life progresses and goes on, is really what we're passionate about.
I love that. Now, your life changed when you were introduced to ketamine therapy. What was that experience like?
That was, I could probably write a novel about that initial experience, because like I said, prior to that, I'd become this kind of for I don't know 4 or 5 months, become this kind of unrecognizable shell of who I once was, and
Yeah.
became I've never been, a victim of life, and I've always looked on the bright side, and I've always been proactive about, about my life and my destiny. And once that switched for me,
Yeah.
and my brain went into just victim mode and repetitive, victim thoughts, and just kept getting deeper and deeper and deeper, and didn't see a way out of it, and was trying, just different things and different medications. And the more, the darker things got, the harder it was for me. And I think there was a point where I didn't shower for 2 weeks, it was like I wasn't really eating, and just things just got really, really dark. And so that the day of that session, I went in with the mindset like, this is stupid, this isn't going to help me, nothing's going to help me,
Right.
nobody understands me, nobody gets me. And when you're that deep into your depression or suicidal ideation,
Yeah.
it doesn't feel like you can communicate with anyone, right? And so I went into it with that mindset, and they took my blood pressure. I was very nervous. I do not like needles at all. And so, took my blood pressure, did a little like breathing exercise with me, and they put it in, and then they were like, all right, can now count backwards. So I think I started counting backwards from like 100. And then almost immediately, I think before I got to 90, almost immediately, it felt like I had become weightless. And you have an eye mask on and headphones on and this beautiful music that really guides the experience. And right. And I felt like I was kind of soaring over mountains, a place that I'd never seen before that was beautiful. And then the music would shift to more of like Indian kind of, or kind of tribal kind of vibe. And then I was now like kind of floating or kind of going through kind of a desert, and not vividly, but kind of almost shadowy, and yeah. Feeling like this is where I was going through these different places. And it just immediately, like I said before, quieted that inner dialogue. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I could breathe again. I didn't feel like I was breathing for months before that. I felt like yeah. It was just this weight and this tightness on my chest. So I just felt like I was at peace, and I could breathe again. And knowing in the back of my mind, like, hey, this is just temporary. This is just medicine working right now. So while that's playing in the back of my head, I felt this immediate sense of just relief. And then, as the music, it starts off very nice and bubbly, and then it kind of starts to get a little bit more intense, and that intensity kind of brought out some of the darker things that I was working through, and looking and reflecting at all the what ifs. You know, what if I did this differently? What if I did this differently? What if I said yeah. this? You know, would she have been like this? Or what if I showed up like this, you know, with the career, would this have been different? You know, and
right.
instead of all of that, it allowed me to just think of all these things and all these situations and just you know, process them, right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to living in them or carrying that weight with me. And
right.
And it was really beautiful. It was a really beautiful, it seemed like a lot longer than, you know, the experience was. It was really only, I want to say 45 minutes to an hour. And then after that session, it was interesting because there wasn't, I believe that preparation and integration are you need that. You don't need that, but it's very, very important for people to go into it with, hey, let's have a structured way of like, let's bring a lot of these things to surface. You know,
yeah.
And let's like also focus on our breath and reset our nervous system, because you don't want to go into it stressed or anxious. And mm-hmm. and so priming the mind for the experience. And then when you go into the experience, letting go of all those thoughts that you were yeah. you know, just bringing up, and just letting the music take you. And then afterwards, revisiting those same things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with this newfound light and perspective and these aha moments and epiphanies, because I know that integration with ketamine can be also challenging. It's fleeting. So the information comes to you and you have all this clarity, and then, you know, a couple hours later or next day, you know, like, oh, what happened again, you know, with that. So the integration, the journaling, I prefer like a voice note afterwards. So that's incredibly important. And the day, like, it was maybe 8 in the morning when I had my first session, and then immediately after that I went home. I went for a run. I didn't go for a run or exercise at all for a long time before that.
Yeah.
And then a couple of days later I got on a flight to go see a friend, because everything in my house was a reminder of you know, furniture that I'd gotten with my ex, we were working at a home office for the company I was working at the time. So all this work stuff, and I was like, all of this is a part of what I need to let go of and move through. So I went and stayed with a friend and got out of town for a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And that was really, really healing for me. But the medicine in that session, like, all for me, all it took was that one session.
Yeah.
And it just snapped me out of it. I not going to say what I did on the antidepressants, because it's not the safest thing to do, but mm-hmm. I got off them very, very quickly. Which I found out later was very dangerous for me to do. But yeah, I was able to get off of them very, very quickly. And since then, you know, I've helped, and the doctors that Better You works with, we've helped over 20,000 people across the country with a lot of success and with different modalities, with ketamine therapy being the primary driver for it in people that are treatment resistant. But it's really, I've learned so much about everyone else's pain and trauma. And I think when you see what everyone's going through and you connect with what everyone's going through, you understand that every person in every room that you're with has very unique stories, and they're carrying, a lot of things. So it's been, I think, a very mission-driven and profound journey for me and for my team, to be able to help people through their darkest moments and when they're suicidal, and yeah.
I love that. And why do you think it has such a different impact and compared to like other treatments that are out there?
So there's a scientist that said that they believe that ketamine therapy is the biggest breakthrough in psychiatry in like the last 50 years.
Wow.
And because it works on a different mechanism, so it works on the mechanism of action is much different for mental health as it is for or as for antidepressants and those types of things. So typically, it's been for the last 50 years or so used in ERs at much higher doses as an FDA-approved anesthetic. And like if you have an infant child and they break their arm, they'll typically put them like an IV of ketamine at high doses to set it because of its safety profile. And it's typically, usually helps preserve as an anesthetic, helping preserve their breathing and their cardiovascular stability. For at much lower doses for mental health, it works primarily by blocking the NMDA receptor in the brain, and that signal can disrupt kind of our previous thought patterns, right? So when we're in thought loops, and it can rapidly change how your brain signals and your circuits are moving, and that can affect everything from our mood, our pain, et cetera, right? So when we're depressed, and the way our brains work and the neuroplasticity of it is that the more that we go down the rabbit hole of the more that we go down the rabbit hole for like certain thoughts, right? That like if we're having happy thoughts, the more happy it's easier for us to have those happy thoughts. And the more we're having depressive thoughts, like I'm not worthy of love or I'm not worthy of living, it's easier for our brains to go down those same pathways. So it helps break up those pathways and makes it easier for us to carve new ones. So in that heightened state of neuroplasticity, it makes us more receptive to things like CBT and psychodynamic therapy exercises, and can make those make that stuff really, really stick, right? And so what makes it really beneficial for our mental health is that at lower doses, that same mechanism can is the key word, quickly reduce symptoms for depression and PTSD, in addition to promoting that neuroplasticity, which is, yeah, our brain's ability to form new connections and new perspectives. And so I guess in long story medium, long story long, it can create a short window where people feel lighter and less stuck and more open. And when you combine that with integration and preparation work, it can really help people make lasting changes in their life.
I love that. That experience led you to Better You, a telehealth platform that provides alternative mental health treatments, including ketamine therapy and psychotherapy and holistic psychiatry. What was your vision when you launched this company?
Well, when I launched Better You, it was initially to help prevent suicide and help people that were struggling with suicidal ideation that were treatment resistant. That was the whole goal. So I was me not being a clinician was finding other doctors that were familiar with the type of medicine and that wanted to help people, and then me just giving them a platform and helping them. So that was the original goal. Since then, it's evolved exponentially into, like I said, everything from HRT to sexual health to weight loss to holistic psychiatry, even though it was in the beginning, it was a hard, for the first few years, it was a hard pill for me to swallow, literally, was, you know, offering psychiatry because I didn't want to become part of the problem. Right. Of the over-prescribing and over-diagnosing. And I didn't want, you know, us to be a platform like most psychiatric platforms or other psychiatrists that I would be working with. I'd look at their EHR and I would see, you know, even holistic psychiatrists and say, okay, we're different, but their entire health record system is Xanax or Adderall and benzos and antidepressants and I'd see that and I was like, yeah, this doesn't really feel like something that we want to be offering patients. But looking at you know, we can't tell patients, hey, we can help you wean off of, or the doctors or nurses, not me, but they can't help you wean off of these medications unless they're the ones prescribing it. So after a couple of years, we launched into a holistic psychiatric program with the sole focus of helping people wean off of medications no longer serving them. And they don't prescribe like schedule twos or amphetamines or anything like that. And so schedule threes and below of helping people just wean off of things that they feel are no longer serving them, in addition to offering other alternative types of treatments. So if people have low energy and they're looking at peptides or things like NAD or inflammation, things like glutathione and all those types of things is what we've evolved into. And with the changes happening at the FDA level too for peptides, there's going to be another 15 or so peptides that are going to become more readily available that we'll be able to help prescribe people with that are phenomenal for sports injury and inflammation and all kinds of different things. So there's peptides for sexual health, there's peptides for energy levels and just, you know, all kinds of different things. So helping people navigate that as opposed to right now, it's a pretty gray area for peptide therapies. It's a lot of research chemicals only and those types of things. So being able to bring these more mainstream and acceptable and educate people around all the different types of healthcare services, whether it's their physical health or mental health, and helping them come to, you know, helping guide them in the right direction of what's going to be, what's going to help them feel better.
I love that. And how does this approach differ from like traditional, you know, mental health care?
Well, like I said, there is still some traditional mental health care like antidepressants and those types of things. Where we really focus on is that wraparound support and saying, hey, you know, you're going to come here and not be put in a box. And you're going to say, okay, because you checked these five different things that you're feeling now, we're labeling you here and putting you here. It's really about that wraparound care and support and helping people feel seen and heard and saying, okay, if you've tried these things, do not give up hope. Here's five other things we can try. Okay, these didn't work from our psychiatric team, or maybe ketamine therapy wasn't great for you, or antidepressants weren't great for you. Now let's look at your blood work. Now let's look at your habits. Now let's look at your social connection and psychotherapy. And we have all these different experts under one roof that we're all communicating with each other and saying, hey, in conjunction with this, let's try this, let's try this, and let's try this. They're all very different specialties and really, instead of having five different providers and fragmented care, and you're left trying to, you know, figure it out or sharing records and hoping that they're being read in the limited time you have with the doctor, that it's all under one roof. So that's really, really the goal.
I love that. Now, Better You doesn't just focus on one treatment. It incorporates things like psychedelic informed therapy, functional medicine, hormone optimization, coaching, and integrative support. You know, why is it so important to look at the mental health as a whole system issue instead of just a brain chemistry issue?
That's an excellent question. Because all these things affect our mental health. Every single one of these things affect our mental health, our diet, our sleep, our stress levels, our hormones. And, you know, it's really sad when somebody, say, you know, turns like 45 years old and they're like, oh, I've been on antidepressants for the last 7 years. Yeah. And now I'm really in a bad place and have all these side effects. And it came out of nowhere. And then we realized that it's and we start messing with their hormones a little bit and getting those levels dialed in, and now they're like, wow, my depression's gone, or
Yeah.
wow, my anxiety is a lot, at bay. And now they've just put now we've got 7 years of unwinding, the damage that these other medications and other treatments did. So when we can look at and pinpoint and help them find with psychotherapy, with nutrition, with traditional psychiatry, with ketamine therapy and HRT of going through that process of elimination, hopefully sooner than most providers of saying, hey, well, we've tried all of these things, and the only way for us to like our bodies don't function in isolation, right? It's everything's connected, and our mental, our physical health is all connected, and so making sure that that's not what a lot of people don't understand that. They don't understand like what they eat and sugar and processed foods and seed oils and all these things cause inflammation, which cause mental health challenges. And so getting people to, especially during the pandemic, right? People, we'd ask them, when's the last time you left the house? Or when's the last time you had a good meal? And they're like, oh, I eat Burger King every day, or I haven't left the house in weeks. And I'm like, well, there's no pill that's going to make you feel better. Like there's temporarily, yes, but there's no pill that's going to make you, there's no pill that's going to make you not depressed, because there's all these other like things that we need to fix before we get there. So.
100%. The conversation around mental health is, changing rapidly, like new therapies, neuroscience discoveries, and personalized care models that are emerging. Where do you think the field of mental health is heading in the next 5 to 10 years?
I think that it's a very exciting time for mental health. I think that there's a lot of data, 30 plus years of data of the things that are working, and most importantly, the things that aren't working. And there's a lot of red tape being cut back right now for psychedelic therapies. There's tremendous amounts of data coming out around psilocybin, and microdosing as alternatives to other traditional treatments. There's a tremendous amount of data for analogs of LSD for Alzheimer's and dementia, which we're pretty lost on treatments when it comes to that. So there's a lot of promise there. Addiction medicine with ibogaine and 5-MeO-DMT and all kinds of different alternative treatments that historically we've been told these are all bad with no pharmacological value. And now we're seeing all that aggressively, that red tape get removed, understanding that certain people, especially with PTSD and all these different things, like why do they have to resort to going to the jungle, and Peru, or leave the country to receive this type of alternative medicine and treatments, when we're seeing, it's really just data driven, where what is helping people, what can help people, and why are these things that aren't daily medications, or why are these things that aren't daily pills, why are they not accessible? So I think there's going to be a lot more access, a lot more data, and hopefully, that's going to help a lot more people.
Oh, for sure, 100%. Now, for someone listening who feels stuck or overwhelmed or burned out, what are the three things they can start doing today to begin improving their mental well-being?
That's an excellent question. Everybody's different, but the number one thing that I would say to help improve your mental health is movement, is sweating every day and moving every day, because that helps us release those happy chemicals. If you're already doing that, then the next thing I would look at is what is it that we're eating, and everything that we're eating is either helping and nurturing us or it's poisoning us. And while if you go into Whole Foods or any nice grocery store, and because it looks like it's healthy, you got to look at the ingredients and see what's there. So really removing seed oils, removing processed foods, eating real foods on a daily basis, and removing excess sugar. It's probably the second thing that I would tell them to do. And then the 13th thing is therapy, is doing something for yourself, and taking that time to connect and have a third party person listen to all the things going on in your head without judgment, because a lot of people don't have that in their lives. And And being able to have that kind of release and perspective, outside perspective on all the things happening. And then, and then that can also, if you're already in therapy and you're already exercising and you're already eating well, then alternative treatments, right? Then looking at short-term psychiatric interventions, right? So if
Right.
you've, maybe you've tried ketamine therapy and that didn't work, okay, then let's go look at, you know, something else that could be a short-term intervention, and
Right.
advocating for yourself to then wean off of these other things, right? I'm obviously a big advocate for ketamine therapy because it's
Yeah.
helped me and it's helped thousands of people that are treatment resistant. But
Right.
again, I'm different. Everybody's different, and so I want people to just help find what works for them and
Right.
to just to never give up hope, right? You matter. And you are important and you are loved, and to know that when you're struggling, you feel very alone, but so does everybody else, and that's okay.
Yes, definitely. Now, you didn't just create a treatment platform. You built a mission-driven company. Like, what did your personal struggle teach you about leadership, purpose, and building something that was meaningful to you?
What did my struggle teach me about it? I never thought that I would be, I never thought that I would be doing this. And what it taught me as a leader is more the human side of business, as opposed to KPIs and metrics, and really making sure that your people that are in the trenches with you every day are taking care of themselves and being there for them. And you know, a lot of people that Better You treats is doctors and nurses, and you know, all the trauma from them being in COVID and working in ERs, and so making sure that, you know, that our team and our healthcare team and our therapists, like a lot of people, they don't see the other side of it, right? They don't see how much weight these mental health care professionals and doctors and therapists and coaches and support staff and people and success teams, how much darkness and weight they take on of the world. And it'll take all day, just everybody else's darkness and everybody's problems. And so making sure that they're taken care of, and that they are heard, and that they have the support they need, because like, who's taking care of the caretakers? So I guess it's taught me a lot. It's taught me a lot about that. It's taught me a lot about the human aspect of us showing up in the world, not just for our jobs, but you know, what's motivating and why are we here? And most of the people on our teams, including clinicians, most of the people, a lot of our clinicians are veterans or reserves, and then a lot of people on our team at the Better You side, on therapist side, like those, they're all, a lot of them are patients, and they were patients, and they were like, this helped me and I want to help other people, and that's my life and that's what I want. And so finding other people that are really, you know, it's one thing when you recently lost someone and you're going through this and this, but if you're the person that you're talking to, the therapist you're talking to has recently went through that too, then it makes it a lot easier. So having people that are, yeah, just as mission driven has been really
I
important.
love
This has
that.
been the most fulfilling work, you know, I could ever dream of.
Oh, it's definitely fulfilling, and you could hear it just in your voice when you talk about it. It's amazing. Can you tell us a little about your different products and services that you offer at your company?
Yeah, absolutely. So we work with, like I said, there's a step down program for holistic psychiatry to help people wean off of medications that are no longer serving them. And for those people that are finding luck with their medications, we can also help you incorporate other things into that protocol, or help improve your nutrition and kind of a more of a holistic psychiatric approach. At home, like online ketamine therapy. So you meet with a clinician online, a brain box is sent to your house with a blood pressure cuff, a journal, a meditation mask, app and preparation instructions, to kind of do everything virtually with a doctor or nurse online. And then, whereas also after your sessions, on the days between your sessions or weeks between your sessions, having those integration therapists or integration coaches to be there and help you, support you on your goal setting and just overall like accountability coaching, and just helping you kind of get back into a structured life, which can be very challenging for people coming out of long-term depression. And in addition to that, we have HRT right now, primarily just focusing on women's HRT on perimenopause and menopause care, and then also peptides, like Right now there's a handful of them, but there's going to be a lot more. So helping everything from your energy to sleep to sex. And as healthcare continues to evolve and things evolve, we'll always hope to be and aim to be the organization that will bring alternative breakthrough types of treatments to our patients and educate them about them first and say, hey, there's a ton of data around this. You haven't tried this. This could be super helpful. And even if it's not us treating it or our prescribers that we work with, of them treating it, we'll help you find somebody that will. So that's the goal.
I love that. I love that. Now, where are, can they find you? What's your website or your social media?
Yeah, so Better You, just the letter U, care.com. And then social media, it's all Better You Care or Better You Therapy, I think it is, on YouTube, but betteryoucare.com. And that's all, our Instagram, our social media, is everything is betteryoucare.com. If you want to connect with me personally, it's at Derek, D-E-R-E-K, dot Duchesne, D-U-C-H-E-S-N-E. And I think that's the same across most of my platforms as well.
I love it. I love it. And for all you listeners out there, mental health is one of the most important conversations happening today. And sometimes the people leading the innovation in this space are those who have lived through it and they live through the struggle themselves. And Derek's story shows how personal pain can turn into a mission to help others. And Derek, I want to thank you so much for coming out today and sharing with us. And, you know, I have to say that, you know, what you did is amazing, because you took, you know, you rose above the crisis in your own life. You know, you faced your obstacles, and then you were able to overcome your obstacles, and then you turned it into something magnificent where you're reaching out to others now and you're helping others, you know, change their lives. And, you know, that's something really special. And the fact that you're able to share your story with others is amazing in itself, because I don't think people realize it's not always easy to share personal stories with other people. And, you know, you come out and you shared a lot of intimate things with us, and, you know, you gave a lot of encouragement to others today. And I just want to thank you for, you know, who you are as a person and what you're doing today to help others. I think you're amazing.
Thank you so much, Stacey. You're amazing. And and thank you for the acknowledgement and for having me on your show, and for all the important work that you're doing and the philanthropy work and what you're doing with the epilepsy community and everything that you're doing. So thank you.
Thank you. And I hope you have a great day today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Stacey.
If you're looking to ensure your place, Sheila's Wheels are super ace. We've got an offer that astounds. Get a gift card for £40 for brilliant home insurance deals. Go direct to Sheila's Wheels.
£40 e-gift card applies for new home essentials policies purchased direct between the 5th of March and the 28th of April 2026. See terms and conditions at SheilasWheels.com.